This next section is entitled, Of the Origin and Design of Government in General, with concise remarks on the English Constitution. Quote, Society in every state is a blessing, but government, even in its best state, is a necessary evil, in its worst state, an intolerable one. Wherefore, security being the true design and end of government, it unanswerably follows that whatever form thereof appears most likely to ensure security to us, with the least expense and greatest benefit, is preferable to all other forms. Unquote. He wrote that as the colonies increase, it would be found to be best to divide into electorates and have representatives in government, and that the elected should return and mix again with the general body of electors in a few months. Quote, And as this frequent interchange will establish a common interest with every part of the community, they will mutually and naturally support each other, and on this, not on the unmeaning name of a king, depends the strength of government and the happiness of the governed. Continuing with the quote, Absolute governments, though the disgrace of human nature, have this advantage with them, they are simple. If the people suffer, they know the head from which their suffering springs, know likewise the remedy, and are not bewildered by a variety of causes and cures. But the Constitution of England is so exceedingly complex that the nation may suffer for years altogether without being able to discover in which part the fault lies. Some will say the fault lies in one area, and some in another, and every political physician will advise a different medicine. The English Constitution has the base remains of two ancient tyrannies compounded with some new republican materials. First, the remains of monarchical tyranny in the person of the king. Secondly, the remains of aristocratical tyranny in the person of the peers. Thirdly, the new republican materials in the persons of the commons, on whose moral virtue depends the freedom of England. The first two, being hereditary, are independent of the people. To say that the Constitution of England is a union of three powers, reciprocally checking each other, is a farce, and states that one or the other cannot be trusted, or that one is wiser than the other. There is something exceedingly ridiculous in the composition of monarchy. It first excludes a man from the means of information, yet empowers him to act in cases where the highest judgment is required. The state of a king shuts him from the world, yet the business of a king requires him to know it thoroughly. Wherefore the important parts, by unnaturally opposing and destroying each other, prove the whole character to be absurd and useless. This next section is in italics when he originally wrote it, and it goes as follows. It is wholly owing to the constitution of the people, and not to the constitution of the government, that the crown is not as oppressive in England as it is in Turkey. This next section is called Of Monarchy and Hereditary Succession. Quote, Mankind being originally equals in the order of creation, in the early ages of the world, according to the scripture chronology, there were no kings, the consequence of which was there were no wars. It is the pride of kings which throws mankind into confusion. Antiquity favors the same remark, for the quiet and rural lives of the first patriarchs have a happy something in them, which vanishes away when we come to the history of Jewish royalty. Government by kings was first introduced by the heathens, from whom the children of Israel copied the custom. As the exalting of one man so greatly above the rest cannot be justified on the equal rights of nature, so neither can it be defended on the authority of Scripture. For the will of the Almighty, as declared by Gideon and the prophet Samuel, expressly disapproves of government by kings. Near 3,000 years passed away, from the Mosaic account of the creation till the Jews, under a national delusion, requested a king. The children of Israel proposed making Gideon a king, and Gideon replied, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. End quote. And Paine pointed out parts of the scripture where the Jews again wanted a king, and Samuel cried out, quote, I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. And the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. These portions of the scripture are direct and positive. That the Almighty hath here entered his protest against monarchical government is true, or the scripture is false. The quote continues, To the evil of monarchy we have added that of hereditary succession. For all men being originally equals, no one by birth could have a right by birth to set up his own family in perpetual preference to all others forever, and though himself might deserve some decent degree of honors of his contemporaries, yet his descendants might be far too unworthy to inherit them. The quote continues, Most wise men in their private sentiments have ever treated hereditary right with contempt, yet it is one of those evils which, when once established, is not easily removed. Many submit from fear, others from superstition, and the more powerful part shares with the king the plunder of the rest. The quote continues, This is supposing the present race of kings to have an honorable origin, whereas it is more probable that we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, chief among plunderers. End of quote. England since the conquest has known some few good monarchs, but groaned beneath a much larger number of bad ones, men who look upon themselves born to reign and others to obey, soon grow insolent. Insolent means showing a rude and arrogant lack of respect. Their minds are early poisoned by importance, and the world they act in differs so materially from the world at large, they are frequently the most ignorant and unfit of any throughout the dominion. Also, what about a minor on the throne, a child, or a king worn out with age? 30 kings and 2 minors have ruled in England since the conquest, and in that time there have been 8 civil wars and 19 rebellions. The contest for monarchy and succession between the houses of York and Lancaster laid England in a scene of blood for many years. In England, a king has little more to do than to make war and give away places which will impoverish a nation.